Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. Today, we're starting a brand new collection of talks called Thankful Life. And so something we like to do here is we like to just spend some time together, maybe a few weeks or maybe a few months, just working through a passage or a story or just tackling a topic. And I was thinking through November and December that as we approach the holidays, it is so easy for us to kind of go about our time and not be thankful. It is so easy for us to just, isn't that funny? Like there's a holiday called Thanksgiving, and yet it's so easy for us to just forget about being thankful. And the reason why this matters today and why it should matter to you, and I think you'll agree with me, is you don't like people that aren't thankful. Come on, you ever held the door for someone, they didn't say thank you, and then you wanted to close the door on their face? You've done it. Or if someone's driving and you kind of give them the wave to come on in and they never give you this wave, you're, okay, now I'm going to have to hit you in a bumper. Thank you for that. Because there's something in us that when we look at people who are not thankful, maybe they're not grateful, inside here, we get a little twisted, a little out of shape. And that means that if we care about other people being thankful, then we ourselves should be thankful people. We should approach this season with thankfulness. And it's so amazing because I'm telling you, today, starting today and really the beginning of this month, all the way through November and December, there is such a potential for you and I to not be thankful. On a season where we're receiving gifts and we're celebrating and praise Jesus for pecan pie is one of my favorite desserts outside of ice cream. But praise Jesus for all these things and yet we cannot be thankful. So I just think it'll be great if this month we can look at what it means to be thankful. Now this month, November, there is a national holiday that's coming up. And I'm sure you know what it is. It is Black Friday. That's what you were going to say, right? Come on. It's Black Friday. And I know Thanksgiving's in there too, But seriously, think about it. Now, in my time of shopping and all of this, I've seen, I'm sure some of you can say, I've seen even more, seen the evolution and the change and the focus shift go from Thanksgiving to Black Friday, go from a time where we gather together and celebrate family and just kind of look at all we have to instead coming together and say, what don't I have? What do I need? What do I want? It's amazing to see that. So in our family, we have a tradition. I've been celebrating Thanksgiving at my aunt's house since I can remember. I mean, this is over 20, probably going on 30 years now. Always having Thanksgiving there. And my cousin would always do the same thing every year. She would get the newspapers. Some of you don't even know what a newspaper is, right? What is that? It's actual paper that you would look to see what stores are selling on Black Friday. And so she would get the newspapers, and you know that paper is like a dollar. Right now it's probably like $5 or something. You go and you get all the circulars out, and we would just pick out the ones we wanted. So Toys R Us, Walmart, and Kohl's and all that. And you go through and you circle what you want to get, and you start comparing prices, and then you start your game plan of, okay, this store opens at 4 a.m., this one opens at 5 a.m., so we can sleep a little bit here, and then we can go here and then hit that. And you make this game plan. And Amy and I, we can remember doing this and having so much fun. So we would have Thanksgiving meal, and then we would go home. This is before kids. And we would just drink like a pot of coffee each, just get ourselves juiced up for the night. And we would drive out, and we would stay in our car. And we would know, okay, stores open at 4, and then we're going to go swing down. We're going to go up to the mall. We're going to hit all those stores. And we would buy everything that we need, get all that stuff together, go home, sleep, and wake up and wrap all the gifts and put them under the tree and say, we're done. We did it. We did all of our Christmas shopping in one night, and it was a great time, and thank you, God, for Black Friday. But now it's just not that way anymore, right? I mean, if I'm gonna celebrate Black Friday, I have to pass up Thanksgiving, right? Because it doesn't start on Friday anymore. In fact, it probably already started now, and Cyber Monday and all these things. And here's why I'm bringing this up as we begin this series with Thankful Life. It's because this month in December has the biggest potential for you to shift your focus off of giving thanks and shift your focus onto something else, and it's this word, money. Money. Now, I know as this word is up here, I have just validated some of your skepticism if you're visiting church today, okay? I know. There's two things happening in people's minds right now. You came in, and you haven't been to church in a while because you stopped going to church
because you said the church only wants my money. They only talk about money. And here I am with the word on the screen. So welcome to church, right? But just please stay with me. And other people, it's like, Pastor Keith, man, I know I have to honor you, but I finally invited people and they came out and now you're talking about money and now I got to explain you to them as we drive home today. So let's just all be on the same page here and let me just let down some of your guard. We're not going to take an offering. In fact, we don't even take offering here, so you don't have to worry about that. This isn't so much that we want something from you at all. It's none of that, okay? But I want us to talk about money because as we approach November and December and January, if you've got debt, in February, and then June, you're finally paying off November. You know, you've done that. I've done that before. That God has a way for us to handle our money. And it's beautiful. It's not a way where we feel strapped and stressed and all of this. God has a best way for you to live your life. And as you go into November and as you start seeing the advertisements, you start seeing all of these things and maybe if you're a parent, you're thinking like I am, okay, we're going to buy some gifts. We're going to do what we can. I don't know how we're going to do what we need to do. But all of a sudden, your focus during this time, especially during this time, can easily become on money. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to ask the question of, hey, what does God have to say about my money? I mean, what does he care about it? What would he say about my money? And it's so amazing because culture's already having this conversation. They're already trying to get you to think about the holidays and how to have less stress. Anyone here want more stress this season? No. We want less stress. In fact, this is amazing. This came in the mail. It was in the mailbox today. You know I got a Costco magazine, right? You know that about me. So the Costco connection, some of you, I love Costco. God gave us Costco. He did. Free samples? Are you kidding me? So God sent this. So Costco sent this. And right here, Holidays Made Easy, page 32, your guide to a less stressful holiday season. Now, I don't know if we should read from this or the Bible today because I mean, there's probably something good there. But think about it. That just got delivered this week because culture is already talking about how to have a less stressful holiday season. And in this same magazine, because I browsed through it, because you know I did, there's already all the sales and all the items, and here's what you can spend, and here's what you can get. So you want me to have a less stressful holiday, but you also want me to do a lot more shopping. So how do we do that? How do we take our money and go into this holiday season in a way that's healthy and less stressful? And if you're asking maybe a Jesus question, or you're wondering this, you might ask it this way. Well, if I follow Jesus, what happens to my money? Right? Have you ever asked that before? Maybe that's why you're not following Jesus. You say, I would love to buy into the Jesus thing. I love the prayer part. I like the music, and I like reading when I understand, and I like that. But what about my money? I mean, what happens? Do I have to, like, give a certain amount? Does God want me to be poor? Is he going to bless me? What does that look like? And that's the question. If I follow Jesus, what happens to my money? And so we're going to read the words of a man named Paul who wrote 2,000 years ago on this topic to a young pastor and gave him some great teaching on what we can do with our money. Now, as I was thinking through this, I thought, you know what? There's really two big ideas that I see when it comes to Jesus and money, God and money. And I want to word them this way for us. The first is that there's a prosperity gospel. And the second is that there's a poverty gospel. Okay, so let me explain what that means. The word gospel simply means good news. The word gospel means it's the good news that God saw me, he saw you, he saw the world, and he sent Jesus to this world to save us from us, to rescue us from sin, and Jesus died so that we might be made alive in him. So take all of that and put it in the word gospel, and then we've got the prosperity gospel. Now, the prosperity gospel would say, if you're following Jesus, you should have, like, stacks on stacks on stacks. It should be making it rain anywhere you go. It should just be, I've got Jesus, I've got favor. I mean, this is amazing. He's just blessed me. There are so many zeros, not just one zero, but there are so many zeros at the end of my numbers, and he has just blessed me, and I have everything because I'm following Jesus, and everything means I have a lot of money. And that would be the prosperity gospel. Now, the problem with that is if you believe that, and if you don't have all of that, then we start to ask the question, well, is there something wrong with me? I mean, am I not doing this thing right? I thought I was supposed to be wealthy and healthy and blessed, and there must be something wrong with me because God's not giving me all these things. I mean, I thought I was supposed to follow Jesus and have the sweet life. And then there's the poverty gospel. And the poverty gospel would say, if you're following Jesus, you should be bare minimum, man. You don't upgrade your phone. You find the old model. You buy used, never new. I mean, you take all your money. You just give it away. And you live this poverty life. You make sure that you stay low. And the problem with that, not only do we not find it lived out by Jesus, is that when you start to live that poverty gospel, you know what comes inside of your heart? Pride. Pride's ugly. Because then you start to look at other people like, oh, yeah, look at them. Going on vacation again? They should have gave that money to the church like I do. You know, like, that's what the poverty gospel would have us say. We start looking around and start judging people and saying, man, they must not be a real believer. A real believer would never buy that. They would never spend their money there. And so we have these, and I'm going to call them what they are, two lies that exist, that if you follow Jesus, everything's taken care of. If you follow Jesus, you should have nothing, be struggling. And I'm telling you, as you approach the holidays especially, I don't want you going in it believing something that's not true. I believe that God has a better way for you to live. I believe that God has a better way for you to take what you have, whether you feel like it's a lot or not a lot, and say, God, because of your path and your principles, I'm going to live out this holiday season with less fear, more cheer. I'm going to live out this holiday season and say, God, I'm thankful for what I have. I want to live a thankful life, and I want to use my money in a way that you have called me to use it. And so that's what we're going to go today. Now, what's so interesting is even though we're in 2018, 2,000 years ago, what we're going to read when Paul wrote to Timothy, the same two things existed. In fact, it was even a little more twisted because you got to remember when Jesus showed up for the Jewish people, they had been following the ways of Moses and the Ten Commandments and the law and the temple and the sacrifice system. All this for, I mean, years and years and millennia. And Jesus shows up and Jesus says, hey, I fulfilled all that, all 613 commandments. I'm going to put it down in one sentence. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Just love God, love others. So now they're asking the question, okay, but what do we do with everything we've been taught? Because they had the same two things. See, if they taught the prosperity gospel, it looks something like this. If you follow God, Jehovah, Yahweh, well, then you should be blessed like Father Abraham was. Sunday school people, right arm, left arm, Father Abraham, right? You know the song. If you don't, God bless you. It's a good thing, okay? But they would say, well, if I'm going to follow God, I mean, Father Abraham was blessed. He had all of this stuff, and I guess I should be blessed. And if I'm not, I guess I'm doing something wrong. And then you have people on the other side say, no, you've got to be like Isaac, Isaiah, you got to be like Jeremiah, you got to be like the prophets. I mean, those guys, they just walked the streets. They didn't have a home. They were sold out for God. And it was shown by how little they had. So you see, in 2,000 years, we're still having the same conversations. Isn't that amazing? It's like we're still asking, but if I follow Jesus, if I follow God, what happens to my money? And Paul, at this point, when he writes what we're going to read, he's older in his age. In fact, it's only a few years before he's martyred for Jesus, for his belief in Jesus. And he writes to a young pastor who has just started his church in Ephesus. And this guy's young. He's handsome, he's muscular, he looks like me, okay? That's what he's doing there. This is Timothy, and he's planting his church in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a wealthy port city, which meant, I mean, this is like ship trade and boats coming in and out, and all of that's happening there, and Timothy starts a church in that area, meaning this is an affluent city. And so Paul knows the people he's going to be sharing the gospel with, they've got some money. That's their context. You're like, it must be nice. I wish we had some money here. They didn't have the property taxes we have on Long Island in Ephesus. We don't know. But Paul writes to Timothy, and again, despite what you feel you have or don't have, the teaching that Paul gives, it's so applicable to our lives. And understand this, whether we may not know each other too well, but my heart is that we would approach November, December, especially the holidays, and just ask the question, what happens to my money if I follow Jesus? God, how can I enjoy, not make it through, not survive, how can I thrive this season in a way that is healthy financially? So Paul writes these words. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires. And I like this part here. He says, that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So we need to really look at this text, and I know it's hard because it's church and it's money, but we need to come to it with just kind of a blank canvas and say, God, what were you saying through Paul to Timothy, and how can I use it today? Because there's some key phrases that Paul uses here that is super important. Otherwise, you're going to be poverty gospel, prosperity gospel. You're going to say, that's not me, that's them. And he starts by saying, look, there are people there. There are those who want to get rich, and they fall into temptation. Now, let's exit the room for a second because we don't like to talk about ourselves. Let's talk about your cousin. Can we do that? You got a cousin you want to talk about right now? Let's talk about your uncle. Let's talk about your friend, whoever it is. Because you've seen 1 Timothy 6:9 happen in someone's life, in your life. You've seen it. And if you haven't seen it in person, you've seen it in media. You've seen it on movies. I'm going to recommend a real spiritual movie, one of my favorites, The Santa Claus 3 with Tim Allen. I'm telling you. See, in A Santa Claus 3, Tim Allen, he wishes he was never Santa, and he gets a glimpse of what his life would be like if that wasn't the case. And if you've seen it, you know the scene when he comes back and he sees himself. He's in the office. He's got the car. He's got the money. He's got everything. I mean, he has pursued all of that. And then when he goes to see his kids, there's no relationship. When he goes to see his spouse, there's no relationship. All the relationship side in his life has been broken, but the money's there. Now, don't fight me in your head right now. I'm not saying that if we pursue money, everything in your life is going to fall apart. And Paul is not suggesting that that is the only path, that somehow you can't have riches and finances and have relationships. But Paul is just kind of putting a spotlight on it. And he's just saying, it's real hard. Come on, Paul's saying to Timothy, come on, Timothy, you've seen this before. There are those who they pursue that, and in their path is destruction and ruin. And I know you've seen it in your own, I know I've seen it in my own life. And I'm not just talking about outside of me. I've seen it in my personal life. But it's hard for us to admit that. See, we have no problem kind of showing up. Be like, hi, my name is Keith. I have an anger problem. Hi, my name is Keith. I worry a lot. Hi, my name is Keith, and I get anxious. We can do that. We're fairly easy. We're secure. But it's very rare that we show up to the group or the house and say, hi, my name is Keith. I am greedy. I just love money. How are you? In fact, where do you keep your safe? We don't do that. That's not something we put a light on. There's a pastor, his name's Tim Keller, and in his book, Counterfeit Gods, he kind of goes through all the things that we could serve and could live for outside of Jesus, and he has this statement when it comes to greed. And he's talking about how people have come to him as a pastor and told him things about their lives and all throughout his decades of ministry. And he says this, he says, I cannot recall anyone ever coming to me and saying, I spend too much money on myself. I think my greedy lust for money is harming my family, my soul, and people around me. Well, why, Pastor Tim? He says, because greed hides itself from the victim. That's a strong statement there. But isn't that true? None of us here is greedy, but we all know someone who's greedy. That's how we approach greed. That's how I approach greed. I say, God, there's nothing wrong in here. I mean, it's not greed. It's just a new iPhone. Thank you, Lord, for Apple. Right? We can justify what's in here because greed, more than anything else, has this ability to hide itself so good, just tucked back somewhere in our hearts, hide itself from the victim. And you know what's interesting? Greed isn't just always going to be spending. You might be greedy because you save too much. You just say, I just got to keep the cushion. I got to keep protecting. That's still that same form where it hides itself from the victim. And so I know you feel the tension. You can legit cut the tension right now. We're just like, oh. But I want to talk about this because everyone's talking about this. Costco is talking about this. Anyone else been getting like 0% for 18 months all of a sudden in the mail? Yeah, because the holidays are coming. So why not say, okay, God, if I follow you, what happens with my money? How can I navigate this season in a way where, you know what, greed, it might be in me, but I don't want to talk about it. And Paul keeps going, and maybe you've heard this before. You never knew that it was in the Bible. Maybe you said this or heard it. He says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You ever heard that before or said it? I mean, we say that in culture. And yet it was Paul, a man of God, who first said that. Hey, Timothy, listen, the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, again, this is where I push back. Maybe you do. Because I say, okay, Paul, I get what you're saying, but man, I don't love money. In fact, I don't even have money to love. They say that money won't make you happy. I say, try me. I will figure out a way to be, I'll take your money and I'll figure out a way to be happy. And so immediately we push and we say, not me, I don't love money. And you know, I don't even have the money to love. And if I did, I wouldn't love it. And we go there. And so I don't want to try and convince you this morning that you have money. I don't know all of our stories. And I could bust out a list of statistics and probably say this room is in the 10th percentile globally. And even if you make more than a dollar a day, you might have heard that. But that's not going to do anything to our hearts. Because you still got bills and you still got things to take care of. It doesn't matter how much you have. You never feel like you have enough. So instead, I want to ask you to do something this week that I believe will allow God to show you, and I need it to show me, if I love money. And it's two words, and you can write them down or remember them. It's pray and wait. Okay, so I'm going to invite you this week, okay? So maybe it's when you get home tonight. Maybe it's tomorrow when you're driving or walking, whatever you do tomorrow. You go to work or you're home. Would you just pray a simple prayer, and I'm going to help you with it right now, and then wait. So maybe you'll pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, please show me if I love money. Amen. Isn't that simple? But if you'll pray that and really ask God, Heavenly Father, show me if I love money. And then just wait. Let the Holy Spirit do something in your heart. He will. He'll show you. All of a sudden, your bank statement will come to your head. All of a sudden, if you're like me, he'll show you, like, remember how much you've been strategizing on how to get more money and how you want that and you need that? And I was like, where does that come from? Oh, because you just prayed a prayer and asked God to do something. And who would have guessed he actually did it? God does things when we talk to him. And so would you just this week just say, Heavenly Father, please show me if I love money. And let him show you. And then he's gonna encourage you and show you what to do. And that's what Paul talks about here. Did you see what Paul said? He said, some people who are eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, as I was reading this and getting ready, I picked up on that word that's there that I don't think is by accident, pierced. Paul was strategic when he wrote this to Timothy. And that word pierced is there, I believe, for a reason. Because if you don't know, God sent his son to this world so that Jesus might be nailed to a cross, pierced to a tree, so that you and I might come alive in him. Jesus died to rescue you. And what Paul is doing here is he's saying, Timothy, because there are people in your life that are so chasing after money, what is his words? They want to get rich. They have a love for money. They're eager for money. Timothy, because they're living that way, they are bypassing the piercing of Jesus, and they themselves are being pierced. Can you hear the compassion and the tenderheartedness and the concern in Paul's voice as he's writing this? Timothy, it can't be this way. You've got to let them know they don't need to be pierced. Jesus was pierced for them. There is a better way for them to live. They don't have to love money. They don't have to be eager for it. And so here's what I believe is the teaching point for you and I today. It's that you can follow Jesus and have money. We can give a good amen to that. I'm telling you, God's not saying follow me and get rid of your money. But at the same time, you cannot follow money and have Jesus. You can't. You cannot follow. You know why I know? Because Jesus himself said it when he was here. Jesus said you can serve one of two masters. And he said you can serve God. And we would think, well, the opposite of God is the devil, right? So it's God or the devil. No, he says you can serve God or you can serve money. Because there's just something about money that it gets our heart. And money wants something from you, and Jesus wants something for you. Jesus wants you to live your life in a way where you're free. And so, yes, you can follow Jesus, and your money can come along too. And God has amazing principles for how you live out your money. But if we're going to chase after money, it's real hard to live out the way God wants us to. See, this is super, like, pun intended, but I have a coin, okay? And it's got two sides to it, and you know that. And money is kind of like that two-sided coin. It's, hey, I can use it in a way where I follow Jesus, and it's for God's glory and my good, and I'm going to live within my means, and I'm going to honor others, and I'm just going to do all that God has called me to do. I want to, you know how much God talks about saving in here and being generous? And the other side of it is, well, I'm going to follow money. And what did Paul say? I'm going to plunge myself into ruin and destruction. I'm going to chase after this thing. I'm going to be eager for it. And I don't know the kind of destruction I'm going to leave in that path. And so instead of pursuing money, we follow Jesus. And Paul says to Timothy, and you could put your name in his place, but he says, but you, man of God today, but you, woman of God, but you, Keith, here's what you do. You just flee from all this. I mean, you take those things that are trying to ploy you and say, spend more, live outside your means. You can figure it out. It will help you and consolidate all those things. And just say, no, I'm going to run from all of that. Instead, I'm going to pursue righteousness. That means I'm gonna live the way God has called me to live. I want to pursue godliness. I want faith and love and endurance and gentleness. That's what I want in my life. So that's a lot of words for us to remember. So I kind of put it into one word, and it's somewhat of a dirty word to say in church and around people. It makes me cringe when I say it, but it's this word, contentment. It hurt to say that. Come on, just say it with me. Contentment. It hurts. I'm content. That means I'm okay with what I have. That means everything I have is enough. That means, sure, I could want more, but you know what, God? You've given me enough, and I'm content with it. I'm okay with it. I'm thankful for it. That's a different way to approach this season. But isn't that the way you want to? Come on, that's how you want others around you. Parents, you want your kids to be content. You want your kids to be thankful. We're teaching our kids already. My son's 4, my daughter's 2, and we're just teaching them, hey, when God gives us things, he gives us things to share them. We are content with what we have. Now listen, because I believe that in this moment, it's so easy to disconnect and to all of a sudden get guilt and shame. This does not mean that if you bought something new, you're like, did he know where we went yesterday? Did he know we went to the car dealership? How does he know that? That's not that, okay? That's not this. If you bought something new, that's all right. If you have something nice, that's okay. Because what I love about contentment is that it's applicable to all of our stages of life, all of our financial seasons. It's, you know what, God, right now I don't have a lot, and I'm going to be content and wait for you to bring more if that's your will for me. You know what, God, I have a lot right now, and it is so easy for me to want more, but I'm going to be content with what you have given me. I want to make wise choices this holiday season. You know this system? You buy it in November, you use it in December, and you regret it in January. Can I get a witness, right? We go there. It's like, why did I do that? Why didn't I set a limit? Why did I get so taken by those free samples and it tasted so good and I bought so much? Why do I go there? And all I want to do today is I want to just shine a light on the possibility of greed in our hearts, greed in my heart, and say, you know what, God, for this season, for this holiday season 2018, I want to navigate it differently. I want to be thankful. I want to be content. Paul told Timothy, parents, you've said this before. You didn't know you were quoting Timothy. But he said, we brought nothing into the world, and we could take nothing out of it. You know when your kids are going off, and you're like, I made you, and I bought that, and I could take both. We can make another one, okay? No one will ever find you. We'll just bring you out. That's a little extreme. But we say this, and we live this way. And Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was encouraging Jesus' followers and saying, you already know, you just be content. You can't bring any of it. It's not he with the most toys and dies wins. We all die, and our toys stay. And how different it would be this season if you put your faith in Jesus and said, Jesus, I want to live the way you've called me to live. And he just finishes it off. If we have food and clothing, he's saying, if we have our basic needs met, can't we be content with that? Can't we just say, God, thank you? And if you're willing to give me more, I'll take it so I can be a blessing to others. And God, in this season of maybe lack, of not having enough, I'm trusting you for every blessing. I mean, this is a different way to live. That is a thankful life. And so I want you to write this letter this year. Dear money, I don't love you. Come on, I just I don't love you. Yes, I need you. Yes, I kind of could use some more of you, but I don't love you. My love needs to be for Jesus. I want to place my trust in him, and I want to follow him and allow his principles to shape how I use my money this season. Now, I'm going to just throw out some very generic, this is generic, so this may not apply to every person here, it's not specific, but just some generic things that you might need to do this season. These are some next step actions that I believe the Holy Spirit can take and stir in your heart. So for some of you, it might be that you need to work less during these 2 months. That you just, if it's opportunity for you to work, you'll just say, I'm sorry, I can't make it for dinner. I'm sorry, I'll be there where I can. And spouses, don't nudge each other right now. I'm not trying to cause a marriage fight. But you might need to be at Thanksgiving dinner this year. You might. That might be where you land. Now, no one send me an email tomorrow saying my boss got mad I didn't go to work because you said not to. I didn't say don't go to work, okay? And if you got bills you got to pay and you have overtime, you do what you need to do. And that's between you and, if you're married, your spouse and God. But think about it. It might mean that you're chasing after that. And God's trying to say, but I don't want you plunged into ruin and destruction. And you don't want January regret. You don't want to wish you were there Christmas morning, Thanksgiving, or at a family event. Instead, you are working. That might be where you land. It might be for some of us in this space that really the way we guard our hearts and search for greed is it's not we work less, but that we give more this season. It's that we say, you know what, God, we're entering into a holiday season when it's so obvious, more than any time of the year, how people are in need. God, would you help me give more? And you know what I love about this church? If you're new, this is for you to understand about our church. We are generous. This church is generous. We do not take an offering, yet people just continue to give. And last week, we were able to bless Pastor Jonathan, who's starting a new church, with $1,000. I mean, that's a big deal to say, for our church to say, if you weren't here last week, he's starting a brand new church, came and spoke, didn't want anything, didn't expect anything. And because of your generosity, we were able to send him $1,000. He must have received it on Friday because my phone was blowing up with text messages. And he's just like, your church is so generous. This doesn't make sense what you guys did. We say, man, we believe in you and we are generous. We want to sow into other people's lives. That's why in 3 weeks, we're getting ready to bless 102 families and head start with a turkey to make sure every family in that community says, I have a turkey for Thanksgiving. You're doing that. Your generosity. That's why next month we're starting to use this facility to house the homeless community throughout the winter months, because we believe no one should sleep outside in the cold of winter. So I'm so excited. We have air mattresses everywhere and people are going to be coming in. That's your generosity. And so you're already doing that. But watch out, because I'm telling you, for me, it is so easy this month, with magazines coming and advertisements everywhere, to lean into that love of money, that eager for money, that desire for more, and to take contentment and just, I'll see you in February. Don't do the holidays that way. There's a better way for you to live your life. That's God's way. As we follow Jesus, he has this way for us. So I want to pray for you. Would you stand with me? And our band's going to come up. We're going to sing one more song. But before we sing, I want to just invite you to follow Jesus today. Because maybe today, November 4th, you're in a place where you say, you know what, I don't know that I'm following Jesus. Maybe you're not following money, but if it's not Jesus, it's something or someone. You might be living for yourself. You might be living for experiences, or you're on a faith journey. I get that. We all are. And so I just want to invite you and pray for you. Maybe today's the day where you say, I want to begin to know this Jesus you're talking about. That Jesus that came, whose name is above all names, who died on a cross and was pierced for me. I want to know him. And maybe you've been in a place where you've known of him for so long, or you've even prayed before or tried, and today is something different. God's doing something in your heart, causing you to say, I want to know Jesus. So I want to pray for you, and I want to invite you to pray. So I'm going to ask you to just bow your head as a sign of reverence and close your eyes as we just pray. And maybe if you've never prayed, you could take these words. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to this world to be my Savior. I thank you that I don't have to live for money or anything else, but that Jesus came to set me free. And today, God, I'm placing my faith in him. I'm believing in Jesus, and I want to approach not just this holiday season different, but my whole life following Jesus. So today I put my faith in you. Jesus, be the Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. Amen.